28. I was thinking to myself, Jesus desired so much to give us the great gift of the kingdom of his fiat. He yearns to, he wants to. Now, why does he want us to pray in order to give it to us? And my always lovable Jesus, moving in my interior, told me, my daughter, indeed, it is my will to give you the kingdom of my divine volition, nor can I help wanting and yearning to give the great gift of it. If it were not so, if I did not yearn for the return of man into the royal palace of my divine will, I would go against the order of our creative work, which with highest wisdom created man so that he might live of our own and dwell in the kingdom of our fiat, given to him by us as his inheritance. By going out of it, man formed disorder in our creative work. And how can we tolerate letting our most beautiful work remain disordered? Centuries upon centuries have passed, and more centuries may pass, but we will not change. This will always be our most important point, our only purpose and special interest, that our creative work be restored and reordered as it came out of our creative hands, and that it live in the kingdom of our divine will.
Okay, thank you, Linda. Can we stop there a little bit?
Sure.
You see, in this first part, I think this comes from volume 24. Our Lord Jesus, as he's always telling Luisa Picaretta about the kingdom of the divine will, why he wants this to return, to have this gift operating in the creature. That's the important thing that we have to remember, that he wants to give us what Adam lost. And I always go back to the Catechism, 374, 375, that section. It's important to understand those numbers of the Catechism, because the Church is telling us what was the state of Adam before the fall. So it's not something strange that he's telling us, our Lord Jesus is telling us in the Book of Heaven. What is new about these writings is that now we know how we can go back to that, because already our Lord Jesus has restored our friendship with God the Father. That enmity that we had, basically, we became enemies with God after the fall. And our Lord Jesus, he already restored that. That's the purpose of redemption, but that's not all. And this is what is new about these writings, that they open up for us the way to understand what's the purpose of all of this, is to receive what Adam lost, what we were supposed to inherit, if he had not gone away from that unity in which he was created and placed. He only had to remain that. So when he says that he wants so much, he desires so much to give us the great gift of the kingdom of his fiat. It's the great gift because here with his writings, he wants us to possess not only the sanctity, but the fountain that contains all sanctities. He wants us to possess his will, which is the fountain of everything that exists. Everything comes from the will of God. So he wants us to have that operating in us, not only to be virtuous, to be good, but to acquire that transforming unity. Saint John of the Cross, he aimed for the unity of the two wheels, and he called this the transforming union. With these writings and with our Lord Jesus is telling us in these passages that he desires so much to give us this great gift of his kingdom, or the kingdom of the fiat, but operating in the creatures, operating in us. How is going to operate? Through every single act, through every single action. And then why do we have to know these truths, these writings, to have the knowledge? Because if the act is informed, then it really becomes a free act. So then we can say that really we go back to that state using our free will, which was the device that Adam used to went away. And we couldn't go back before Christ. The people in the Old Testament, they couldn't attain this unity because we were enemies with God, basically. So on the cross, we see the two wheels, the human will being crucified. We see three nails, basically representing the human will, the human will being nailed, dying, the intellect and the memory, the three powers of the soul. So you see right there the human will being brought to judgment, basically, and be reconciled in total submission to the divine will. So that's why, you know, the cross really becomes the bridge to ascend from earth into heaven and to go from the physical to the spiritual. It really becomes the key to heaven. And in there, we are reconciled. So then after that reconciliation, then we can go back to attain this unity. But before that, we couldn't receive this gift. That's why our Lord Jesus didn't, even though he talks about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of heaven is like, he always says, and he gives examples. And we know that the kingdom of heaven is the kingdom of the divine will. But at that moment, he could not speak openly about this as he's talking to Luisa Picaretta, or giving this to Luisa Picaretta, because first of all, we have to be in that reconciliation. He had to reconcile us. But he already was pointing us towards that, to the kingdom of heaven, which is the kingdom of the divine will. And this is the fulfillment of everything. Because through this gift operating in us, we will be able to return, to give back, to offer everything back to God. That's why in this, in the prayers in the divine will, is the Lord tells Luisa Picaretta in other part of the Book of Heaven that what gives him the most glory is to do the rounds, basically what we do. And to do that is very simple. It's very simple. You can just go to the Book of Genesis, chapter 1, and you see God created everything, and you see how one action of God, let it be light, it develops in other actions. And you can go right there and put your I love you, I praise you, I adore you, I glorify you, I thank you in all those acts, basically very, very simple, in a very simple way. So that's why our Lord tells us that he desires this gift to be among us, and he desires so much because through this gift, we are going to be able, this gift is going to enable us to give back to God. It's basically the door through which God can receive, and then we are able also to receive in return. So do you want to continue?
Yes.
Linda, please.
our adorable majesty finds itself in the condition of a father whose son was once happy, of rare beauty, which brought him joy and happiness, and lived as the owner of the inheritance given to him by his father. This son voluntarily left the paternal inheritance. He rendered himself unhappy and broke the beautiful and pure joys between father and son. Now, wouldn't the sorrow of the father, his sighs, his tears, and his unshakable will be for his dear son to return to be happy? More so, since the inheritance given to the son still exists. The father himself keeps it in custody, and he longs for his son to take possession of it once again.
But in the there, thank you so much, Linda. Here is a very important word here. Is the possession of it once again. I think in the past we have talked about living in the will of God, doing the will of God. And this divine science that we find in the Book of Heaven is about possessing. Because Adam lived, did, and possessed. We live in the will of God. We try to do his will by following the Ten Commandments and all of that. But here, the goal is to possess. And he mentions this very clear here, to possess it once again. Meaning that at one point, Adam possessed it, we lost it. The Blessed Virgin Mary possessed this gift by grace, our Lord Jesus by nature. And if we want to be one of many that will follow, remember the Catechism 381, that Christ, and that comes from Sacred Scripture, but the Catechism mentions that in 381, that Christ is the first one of many that will follow. If we want to be one of those many, we have to be once again in the possession of this gift. Can you please continue?
Sure. But in the midst of so much sorrow and tears and sighs of this father, his will is resolute. He wants his unhappy son to desire, to pray that his paternal inheritance, his lost happiness, be returned to him.
Thank you, Linda.
Okay.
He wants to pray for this paternal inheritance. He wants his unhappy son to desire to pray that this paternal inheritance, his lost happiness, be returned to him. So this is basically what we are doing here, that we are trying to understand what is it that we have to do for this gift to operate in us, for us to arrive, to come to the point to possess this gift in us. And once the divine will is operating in us, our Lord Jesus tells us in the Book of Heaven that every single act, even the most simple, insignificant act, even of those acts that we are not even aware that we go throughout the whole day, they become a prayer. And those acts, they become basically a prayer begging him. Or the way I want to put it, or I like to put it, is they become little magnets. They are always calling, attracting, you know, the divine will to come. It's like gravity, you know, it's always calling the divine will to descend, to descend, to descend, to descend, to descend. So our Lord Jesus is very clear. He wants us to pray for this gift to return, to understand this gift, that we want, he wants us to desire this gift, and then he will give it to us. So that's why it's important for us to tell other people about this great gift, you know, that they may come to know about this gift and that they may come to also understand it. And hopefully that they will be able to possess it, because this is what we are, everybody's aiming for here. This is the goal for all of us. And this really, this way of living really fits into what the church calls us, for all of us to be holy. Because everybody is, the universal call to holiness is for everybody. And in this way, we sanctify our day, basically. Everything that we do is being sanctified. Of course, we have to be in the state of grace. We have to not only do the will of God, right, through the Ten Commandments, to be in the, try to be in the state of grace and receive the sacraments, to have a sacramental life that the church gives us. So we will always need the church to receive that sanctifying grace that flows from the sacraments. Once we invite the divine will to be in every single act that we do, then those sacraments, they will also, they will be able to have in us what they are supposed to have. Not only become a remedy, a nourishment, to be real food for us. It will nourish every single act. The sacraments, they will nourish already the acts that we are doing also. So then the sacraments, they will have their fullest effect in all of us in this way. But for all of us, it's important to really pray, do our acts in the divine will, and also to share this divine science with others in a very simple way, you know. The Lord has for everybody, I guess, the time. But if they hear about this, at one point it will resonate whenever they are ready. It will resonate in them, and then they will be able to understand it. But the important thing first is to make it known that people, they come to know that it's here. You know, the kingdom of heaven is here, and now it's operating in us, we can say. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, our Lord Jesus, because in him, the kingdom of heaven was operating. We can say the kingdom of the divine will is at hand, is already here, is operating in us. And everybody is now is available for everybody. Everybody can receive it. But since God respects our human will so much, and he will never surpass our human will, then he is waiting for us to give our fiat as the Blessed Mother. And even the Blessed Mother is just waiting for us to give our fiat in order for us to be truly, to be called truly sons of the Blessed Mother in all the extension of the word. Because the motherhood of the Blessed Mother is fulfilling us completely when we receive the divine will. When she's able to give us that gift, because everything also, before everything is given to us, goes through the hands of the Blessed Mother. So for the Blessed Mother to give us this gift is such a joy. And when she gives this gift to all of us, and she sees this gift operating in us, this is the thing, operating in us, functioning, working in us, then she is really able to call us, to see in us another Christ. So her maternity in us is being fulfilled. Otherwise, we will always fall short of that. So, okay, let's continue.
This disposes the son to receive and to appreciate his happy state, the return of his inheritance. And the father, drowned with love for his dear son, will say, your prayer has formed a right over my heart that burns for you. Take again what you lost. You have deserved it. I am content as long as I see you happy. And I can say, my son is no longer unhappy, but happy. Now, we are more than a father, much more. His love is a shadow compared to ours, and our divine will is unshakable. No one will ever be able to change it. The unhappiness of man is a disorder for the work of creation, and we want our rights over our work. We want it to return to us just as it came out. Our love drowns us. Our justice demands it. Our goodness claims it. Our very happiness longs for it and does not tolerate unhappiness in our work. Our divine will, surrounding us like a crown, renders us immutable and wants its kingdom to be possessed. But in spite of this, we want the creature to pray, to yearn for the good we want to give. This forms a right over our paternal heart and a place within his heart to be able to receive what we want to give so that we may be able to say in our emphasis of love, my son, you have deserved it, and we have given you what we wanted to give you.
Thank you.
Okay.
So beautiful passage. It comes to mind, you know, St. Augustine, that he, in his confessions, he complains and he says, oh Lord, our hearts, they are always, you know, unrested. They will never find rest until they rest in you. Because why? Because we are designed to have this divine will operating in us, the life of God operating in us, like running in us 24/7. Because God loves us 24/7. And he wants us to correspond to him 24/7. Not only when we take the rosary and we pray, not only when we do the liturgy of the hours, not only when we go to mass or receive the sacraments, not only when we pray, but at every single moment, because he loves us 24/7. So he wants the correspondence of his creatures 24/7. Just imagine you mothers, fathers, that your children will say to you 24/7, I love you. They will shower you with flowers, with chocolates, with all kinds of goods, you know, to show the love for you. So God the Father wants us to shower him also with our love, but not only with the human love, but with the divine love operating in us. So that's why St. Augustine, he really hit the nail on the head here, that really our souls, our hearts are really and are going to be really unhappy until we find this divine will operating in us, you know? And spiritual disorders, we can say. The soul operating without the life of God is a spiritual disorder. Until we arrive to the possession of this gift operating in us, we are going to be spiritually disordered, spiritually disoriented, because this enlightens us right to what enlighten us to what God wants us to be, really. And it gives us the disposition for us to receive what God wants us to give us, because he also wants to shower us at every single moment. But the pebble of our human will is what keeps us from receiving this. So as long as we, if we do not remove that pebble of the human will, as our Lord Jesus tells Luisa Picaretta in the first volumes, I think it's the second volume, that is, he says, remove the pebble of your will so that these connections, these channels of grace can be open. Every single act is a new channel of grace that is open between the soul and God. And these are not my words. These are the words of the Blessed Mother. You read the lessons of the Blessed Mother. This is what she says. Every single act is a new channel of grace that is open between the soul and God and the creature. The creature and God. So really, I almost inclined to say that also this, since he's talking about the disorder and all of that, probably psychologists, they will not like me so much if I say that the divine will is the remedy for all, even for all the spiritual and psychological disorders. You know, because everything is at the center of the soul. And from there, all, if the soul is ordered, then everything in the soul is going to be ordered, right? Everything, the intellect, the memory, the will. So the creature is going to be ordered, totally oriented towards God. And this is what, this is actually a great act of mercy that the Lord is giving us through these writings, because he wants us not to be sick anymore, not to be spiritually crippled, not to be spiritually disordered, but to go back to that place and to receive what we lost. He wants to send that gift again. And the place for that gift is our souls, so that the will can begin operating again as it's supposed to be. The intellect and the memory, they can start running again as they are as they were designed to function. Okay, let's continue, please.
One who prays disposes himself, so that which is obtained by praying is appreciated, is kept safe. And since the knowledge of my divine will, the possession of its kingdom, is not an individual good, but a general one, in order to obtain it, I have you pray for all, in the name of all, and of each thought, word, and act of creature, so that you may form the right over our divine paternity, that all may receive the kingdom of our fiat, as well as the dispositions within themselves to be able to possess it. The Queen of Heaven did so to impetrate the kingdom of redemption. She had a prayer, a sigh, an act for all. And for each one, she let no one escape her. And by doing this, she gave to each one the right to be able to receive his Redeemer. I did this to redeem creatures, and this I want you to do for the kingdom of my divine will. After this, I continued thinking, and why does the Lord have so much interest? And why does he love so much that his holy will be known and reign in the midst of creatures? And my sweet Jesus added, my daughter, because the first purpose, act, and end of creation was that our divine will alone reign. And in order for it to reign, it is necessary to know it. It was our will that entered the field of action in creation, and with its creating fiat, imposed itself on the emptiness and created heavens, suns, and many beautiful works, and man too. And in all the works it created, it placed the seal of its omnipotent fiat as the indelible sign, which would remain inside each of its works as ruling king inside his kingdoms.
Thank you, Linda. Let's stop here for a minute. You see, when he mentions he's mentioning the prayer that we have to pray for this. And you see also in this passage, he's mentioning several times now, the possession of his kingdom, the possession of his kingdom, and the dispositions. Now he tells us here that it was the Blessed Virgin Mary that made this kingdom, the redemption, the kingdom of the redemption descend, basically the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us. Why did she have this power within her prayers? Why does the prayers of the Blessed Mother have this potency to make the kingdom of redemption descend? Because she possessed that unity. We talked about in the previous classes about the unity that our I gave you the definition. I think it's in volume 23rd of the Book of Heaven, the definition of unity, and why once you possess this unity, is able to benefit everybody. And that's why it says it's a general one. This good is a general one, because being in that unity, being in the possession of that fountain that contains everything, then this you find yourself possessing God himself, basically. Not only certain spirituality, not a certain particle or certain attribute, but the fountain of everything that he is, his will that possesses everything. So the prayers of the Blessed Mother have the potency to bring it down, to make it descend, because she possesses that divine will operating in her. This is very important to understand, operating in her, functioning, running, acting in her 24/7. So that everything in the Blessed Mother was a prayer. When she exclaimed, "My soul magnifies the Lord," that was a vocal prayer. A prayer from the soul, "My soul magnifies the Lord." That was a vocal prayer, a prayer from her soul, her heart. But every single step that she took to arrive to see Elizabeth, it was an act of adoration, a prayer, an act of thanksgiving. So in her, by virtue of possessing this gift, she was able to make it descend, to make the divine will descend, to make the incarnation, to make the Word of God descend upon her. Something that other people in the Old Testament, as holy as they were, they couldn't, because they didn't possess this gift. So they didn't have the power to make this kingdom of redemption descend. Now the kingdom of the redemption is finished. Everything for that is finished. Our Lord Jesus says that on the cross, everything is finished. His mission to reconcile us with God the Father is finished. That has been accomplished. The kingdom of redemption is accomplished. We see the fruits of the kingdom of redemption now. He prays in the Our Father for this gift to descend. So he's going to descend, and he's among us already. It's operating in us as long as we let it operate. So it is very important that he says that this is the first purpose in creating, in doing all creation. The first purpose, act, and end of creation. What is he talking about? Is that the purpose of all creation, the purpose of creating us, is that this gift may operate in us. We lost it. We became enemies with God. We are reconciled. And now the door is open again to go back to the possession of that gift. But again, it is not imposed. A salvation is not imposed. Even the gift of salvation is not imposed. It's a gift. So this is the same. And this is the main purpose. So it hasn't changed. His will doesn't change, he says. The divine will wants to be in the center of the soul. It has to be in that empty place that is in our hearts. As St. Augustine says, and this is the way we are going to have peace, we are going to have that fulfillment, that void in our hearts. As long as this void is not being filled with the divine will, there will be always something else that the creature is going to be looking for. Always something else, because it's not what the human heart is designed to possess. We are designed to possess this divine will, but operating in us, the divine will being imposed. He uses the word imposed, that after creation, the divine will imposed itself in that empty place that was the soul. And we can see in the book of Genesis that in the seventh day, God rested. But he didn't rest in the trees, in the animals. He rested in the soul of his creatures, and making that the indwelling place of the Blessed Trinity, making that his little heaven. So, can you please continue, Linda?
So the purpose of creation was not our power, our goodness, our justice, our immensity, and the like. And if all of our attributes concurred in it, it was as consequence, not as purpose. If we do not obtain the purpose, it is as if we had done nothing at all. And since all created things were made for man and man for us, here is why, by necessity of love, by right of justice, for the honor and decorum of ourselves and of all of our works, and as the fulfillment of our purpose, we want our divine will to reign in man as origin, life, and end of his whole being. If you knew how much my fiat suffers in looking at man, it looks at him and says in its sorrow, did I really make him with my creative hands? Is he my work? Is he really the one whom I so much delighted in creating? Yet I am not within him as in my kingdom. He broke my seal, and by putting me out, he is destroying the purpose for which I gave him life. See then how it is absolutely necessity that my divine will be known and reign. And until it does, our most beautiful works cannot produce for man the goods which they contain. The very work of redemption is without fulfillment.
Thank you. There is a very sad passage in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, that it says that God saw the disorder, basically, and he repented of having created men. These are the words that the translation says, that he repented of having created men. This is before the flood. In this particular passage, that we see that God doesn't recognize us, and he says, did I really create men? Is he really the works of our hands? Because after the fall, we are unrecognizable. We became unrecognizable before God. Remember, in the fall, we retained the image, and that image is not as clear as it should be. That's why we need the sacrament of baptism, because after baptism, the image of God, which is in our souls, and is represented by the will, the intellect, and the memory, is kind of blurry. You cannot really see it. But as soon as we are baptized, it takes away that stain of original sin, we are filled with the presence of God, and that image of God in us, of the Blessed Trinity, is really clear in us. And as long as we stay in that state, we are in the state of grace. As long as the child remains in that grace of baptism, that image of the Blessed Trinity is totally clear in the soul. But then as we grow older and we sin, then again that image becomes blurry. So that's why we need the sacrament of confession, and we need the church. We become unrecognizable before God. It's not that God doesn't recognize us because we are strange to him. He created us. We are the works of his hands. But what makes us unrecognizable, what renders us unrecognizable before him, before the divine majesty, is sin, basically. And this tendency we always gonna have, because this is what remains after baptism. We call it concupiscence, is the inclination to sin. That's why we have to train ourselves. That's why we need the life of grace. We need the sacraments to enlighten ourselves to that, so that we come to a point of becoming virtuous. But through this gift of the divine will, we even have an advantage, a little shortcut, that through this gift operating in us, then every single act done in the divine will in this unity, it will fortify us and all the virtues in us. Not only when we encounter the occasion to become virtuous, humble, patient, but at every single act, these virtues will be fortified in us. That's why they become, and also when we receive the sacraments and we are in this union with the divine will, they really become strength and food for us, because it will fortify every single act that we do in the divine will. It will nourish. Because if it's Jesus operating in us, Jesus in every single act, then also by receiving Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the sacrament of the Eucharist, it will fortify us. It will divinize ourselves in a way. Not only when we receive now the sacrament of the Eucharist, but at every single act. And this may sound a little bit strange, and a little bit let me find the word I want to say, scandalizing for some, but it's really not, because even the Catechism tells us that we are supposed, God wants us to be to have this, to have his nature. I have to find really the catechism, the reference, because I don't want to say it. Let me see. Give me just a second here. Okay, he wants us to be shares. This is the word that the catechism uses in 51. He wants us to be shares, to become shares in the divine nature. So it should not be something strange, because shares in his divine nature, that meaning that he wants to share his nature with us, so that everything we do, also in the divine will, it will be like the divine nature operating in us. That's the way it's going to be shared. And then only through that we will become one of the many. So, okay, let's try to finish this passage.
Then I continue thinking, and why does my beloved Jesus not speak about his fiat as often as before? And Jesus added, my daughter, Our usual way is to give the truths we want to manifest sip by sip. Because the creature is incapable of receiving all at once all of our truths within her soul. At the same time, we do this in order to let the life of the truth we have manifested mature within her. And taking great delight in seeing in the creature matured the beautiful works which the life of our truth produces, we feel drawn by the beauty of our manifestations to manifest yet more truths. And this is why we give time, to have the time and the occasion to take delight in giving more communications. Did we not do the same in creation? We could have created everything that exists all at once and with one single fiat, but we did not do it. With our fiat was when our fiat was pronounced and our works came out. We delighted in looking at the beauty and magnificence of our works, and these moved us to pronounce more fiats so as to form other beautiful works. So I am doing with you. Don't you know that that which regards my divine will and its kingdom is nothing but the continuation of creation? The narration which was to be made to man, had he not sinned, and had he possessed my kingdom of the fiat? But since he rejected my divine will, he interrupted the narration of the story of my will. More so, since my will no longer had reason to continue it, because man no longer possessed its kingdom. Now, after so many centuries, my will has resumed its narration to make itself known, a sign that it wants to give its kingdom. Therefore, what I manifest to you about my divine will is nothing but the continuation, continuing from the beginning of creation in order to narrate the life of the divine will. Fiat.
Thank you. Thank you, Linda. So sip by sip, he wants us to receive this sip by sip. You know, and to... Why? Because he says we are incapable. And it's just like when we start learning the numbers, we have to begin 1, 2, 3 in order to do algebra. You have to know your numbers first. You have to do adding and all of this. It's the same with this gift. And he says, I want the soul to mature in this truth. Even St. Paul tells us in Sacred Scripture, I think it was the Galatians, I don't have the exact reference, but he tells, I'm giving you basically baby food so that you can masticate. And in this divine science, even though this is the life that we are supposed to have since the beginning, that we are designed to possess because of the fall and all the consequences of that. We have inherited spiritual blindness. We have inherited all this spiritual leprosy and crippledness that keep us from really walking and seeing and hearing all this spiritual deafness and seeing and hearing the divine life, seeing God. So that's why in the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated. This is a sacrament that is called a sacrament of initiation, because it really opens the door for God to operate in us and for us to start doing acts in the divine will, because it's really in baptism that we receive the ability to operate in this way. The difference is that when we were baptized, we didn't know about this gift. But now those families, those who have children, they can start teaching the divine will doing acts in the divine will to the children in this way, right? So that when they acquire the awareness, when they are able to freely choose this gift, they may have the knowledge already. So they can arrive to the possession of the gift. So it is a gift that the Lord wants to bestow upon us because it's the completion. This gift completes the work of redemption in a way, completes the whole work of God of creation. Because through this gift, God is able to receive 24/7 the love of his creatures. So in this way also, the love of God is being received by the creature. It's a total correspondence. And this is exactly what John of the Cross was talking about in this transforming union. The single act that we do is being transformed. The act of the creature that is a human act is being transformed into a divine act, basically. And that is the fulfillment of what the Catechism in 351 is talking about, becoming shares in the divine natures. So is as hard as it may sound, or as difficult as it may sound for some to understand that the divine life operating in us and these acts basically being divinized. It is true, and this is the doctrine of the church. So we don't have time for the letter of Luisa today. We're gonna skip Luisa this evening, but I just want to encourage all of you to keep reading and praying and really have in mind, you know, that maybe I can leave you with this thought that God wants us to shower him with our love all the time, 24/7. He wants us to receive that love that he has for us. And only through this gift, we are able to do that. So let's finish with a prayer, and then after we can go through some questions, if some of you have questions. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us give thanks to our Heavenly Father for the gift of the writings given to Luisa Picarreta. Let us give thanks to him for all the graces that we have received through these writings. Let us ask him that through the Holy Spirit, we may be able to understand all these truths that we have received. Sip by sip, we may be able to fill ourselves with this divine life until we really become shares in his divine nature, until we really arrive to the possession of this gift operating in us. We pray through the intercession of Blessed Virgin Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed are thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and in the hour of our death. Amen. Yeah. May the blessing of my almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon each one of you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Amen.